This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great fast-moving show planned for you today. During the first hour, we'll be joined by Dr. David Ghazal. We're going to talk about how fragmented sleep accelerates tumor growth and progression. Then we're going to change it up at 1 o'clock and be joined by Dr. Per Lindahl and Dr. Martin Burgo as we talk about how antioxidants may actually fuel the progression of cancer in certain individuals. And then during the last half hour, we'll be joined by James Meadows as we talk about how modern architecture may actually be promoting the way bacteria spreads in society today. So good stuff. Just want to mention a couple things real quick. Don't forget, we're giving away $500 worth of free product from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. In order to enter, you just have to sign up for the Superhuman Radio newsletter and like our fan page on Facebook. And you are entered. The drawing ends midnight, February 20th. We will announce the winner on the 21st during an episode of Casual Friday. There will be a banner ad up on Supreme Radio's website later this afternoon. So if you forget about that, just go to the website and you'll see how you can enter to win $500 worth of free product from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. So check that out. Okay, Dr. David Ghazal, how are you, sir?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
Yes, and thank you for taking time to come on the show. This is a really important discussion. We know that sleep obstruction occurs, not just from sleep apnea, but from a variety of different reasons, and has the idea of fragmented sleep is really something that's plaguing society today. So this is very, very worrisome. Your research paper is called Fragmented Sleep Accelerates Tumor Growth and Progression Through Recruitment of Tumor-Associated Microphages and TLR4 signaling. Just real quick, the acronym TLR, what does that stand for?
It stands for toll-like receptors, and these are the receptors that were identified as part of the cells, unique cells that we have in our body that really conferred and construct all the innate immunity, the way that we have been primed all through evolution to defend ourselves against the outside dangers that plague our existence throughout the evolutionary process.
Now, macrophages, I thought, were good things. I thought these were kind of like the sanitation department of our cells, and they can actually get rid of a lot of metabolic waste. Am I incorrect about that?
No, you're not incorrect. Macrophages are specialized cells in our body that are part of the innate immune system, and when they're activated in a certain way, they're very good. They take care of infection. They will remove dead cells. They will make sure that anything that is wasted will be taken out. Any foreign object will be engulfed and tried to remove it. So they're good. They're good guys.
Okay.
But like everything else, sometimes too much of it is not good, and sometimes they can change. You know, macrophages, there are multiple types of macrophages, and in certain settings, macrophages that are less energetic and more indolent, let's call them this way, or sleepy, may be very good. They keep things okay. They support, they're helpful in the tissue. They can, in our organs, they can help the function and be good partners. But when you have too many of those, or when you have an invader like a cancer, then maybe they're not so good.
Mm-hmm.
And so these macrophages, as we know them today, are not a single unique type. They have multiple markers that identify them into what we call now type 1 or type 2 to make things very simple. But in fact, it's a very wide spectrum. And macrophages in a certain setting, like in cancer, if they're type 1, they really try to fight cancer and destroy it, because they recognize the cancer cells as being the bad guys, and they want to make sure that they, you know, get rid of them.
Right.
But if they adopt a different phenotype, like type 2, which is a more indolent type, they may actually help cancer.
Wow.
And so this is part of what we will talk about over the next few minutes.
Okay, so before I ask you to explain the design of the study, I one of the things that I'm curious about, this was obviously two different centers were involved in this research, one right here in Louisville, Kentucky, Department of Microbiology and Immunology. But your division, the pediatric sleep medicine at the University of Chicago, why are we worried about this at a pediatric level? And I know that's kind of a misleading question, because the reality is we know that a lot more children today are suffering from sleep apnea. But do we have a risk of children developing cancers as a result of this?
Well, the reason was not because of the immediate risk of children, but really as we have been interested in how sleep affects biological principles. And that's part of what my laboratory, with many of my colleagues here at the University of Chicago, has been interested in. And as part of that, obviously, we did not wish just to restrict our activities to the issues related to children, but more to understand that the comprehensive level of how sleep and perturbed sleep can lead to a variety of bad consequences or good consequences,
okay.
Right? Sleep is good in general. That's why it's a vital function. Without it, we die. And if it weren't a very important function, then it would be a really wasted evolutionary process. Why would we need to waste time sleeping if it's really not needed? So it is needed. It is a vital function. And Dr. Alan Reshtafen here at the University of Chicago almost 40 years ago already identified how important it is. But at the same time, you know, we really don't go without sleep for a very extended period of time. Our society, in general, at all levels, has really gotten to sleeping less than we need.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep, and the quality of sleep has suffered over the last 100 years or so. Now, we all know that if you live in very noisy environments, the quality of your sleep is not very good. So people who live in areas such as, freeways, next to airports, next to train stations, things that make noise, particularly during the times that we're sleeping, since we are a 24/7 society, those people are known now to suffer from more health adverse consequences, particularly as it relates to epidemiological studies, to cardiovascular consequences, and to have increased mortality. They live less. And nobody really, linked the two together. Now, we looked at epidemiological studies over the last 10 years or so, and what we found was quite compelling. Yes, the major reason for poor outcomes in health related to people who had short sleep or poor quality sleep was cardiovascular.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what most people today die of, right?
Right.
Adverse cardiovascular consequences. But the other one signal that was in those studies and identified by some that had very large cohorts was that the second driver for poor health outcomes was cancer.
Mm.
So this so if you sleep less or if you sleep too much or if you have poor quality sleep as defined by very simple questions in surveys, it seems that cancer seems to be showing, at least in most studies, seems to be showing a signal. So what is it about sleep and cancer? And we went about it, and we couldn't find much of anything. Now, 2 years ago, there were two very intriguing studies. Those two studies were done, one by a group in Wisconsin, at the University of Wisconsin at Madison. It's a longitudinal cohort of people who have been screened for sleep apnea many years ago.
Right.
These were adult patients. And what they found was that if you had sleep apnea and you had developed cancer, the likelihood of getting a poor outcome from that cancer was much higher. So this was intriguing, but and the way that the investigators identified the risk was they said, well, you have sleep apnea, you have low levels, intermittent low levels of oxygen, and those are, as we know it, are major drivers for cancer proliferation, and because of that, that's why you have poor outcomes. But the problem was that they didn't really look at the other aspect of sleep apnea, which was fragmented sleep.
Right.
In other words, patients who have sleep apnea, when they choke during their sleep, they have low levels of oxygen, but in order to catch their breath, they have to wake up. The
right.
brain has to wake up, and in that process, you wake up 200, 300, 400 times a night. You don't remember any of those. It's like a very quick phone call to your brain. You just sufficiently to, you know, open your airway, and then you go back to sleep. But be that as it may, you're sleepy during the day, most likely. You're going to be tired. But yet, your sleep was very poor quality. And
right.
that poor quality sleep could be potentially a cause of
Dr. Gozal, not doing well.
We
need to take a break. So just keep that thought where you are. When we come back from the other side of the commercial break, I also want you to describe the design of the study, and then we can get into the outcome. This is a very, very important discussion. So many people have poor sleep. I did a poll on Supreme Radio's website last year, and in just a couple weeks, over 2,500 men responded to the poll. I asked, do you snore? And 99% of the men who responded said yes. Snoring is the beginning. If you are somebody who snores loudly, your mate says, you know, you snore so loud you keep me up, this could be the onset of something concerning. Fragmented sleep is a problem in today's society. So this is an important discussion. We're going to continue it on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves.
By your side.
Government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do.
Fighting the good fight.
Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health.
He's Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount. Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. A special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on superhumanradio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad to today.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking this hour with Dr. David Ghazal. We're talking about how fragmented sleep affects tumor growth and progression. Before we went into the break, I want to make sure I gave you enough time to cover. You said there were two studies that you looked at that kind of gave way to the information that was the seed for this, that there was a link between poor sleep and cancer. Was there another one, or did we cover both of them, Dr. Ghazal?
No, we covered only one. The other one was a study from Spain by a Spanish cohort group, and what they found was essentially very similar. Was that if you had sleep apnea and you had cancer, again, your outcomes from cancer were bad. And so both of them obviously identified the biological plausibility based on the intermittent low levels of oxygen associated with sleep apnea and paid most attention to that because some of the authors of those studies had done or had participated at the University of Barcelona in a set of papers and a set of studies that were led by Isaac Almendros. Isaac is now one of our postdoctoral scholars here at the University of Chicago, but he was at the University of Barcelona, and he studied melanoma, a type of cancer, and intermittent hypoxia, and showed that mice with melanoma who were subjected to intermittent hypoxia had poor outcomes, and that the growth of that melanoma was excessive compared to normal growth during normal conditions. So the whole field was slanted towards the intermittent low levels of oxygen, with no attention being paid to the other aspect of sleep apnea and of many other conditions, which is the fragmented sleep. So we hypothesized that this poor quality sleep, particularly as it relates to disrupted sleep during the night, could potentially have an impact also on the way that tumors grow. And this is how we established a collaboration with Dr. Haval Shirwan and Dr. Esma Yolku at the University of Louisville. These are two outstanding cancer biologists who have been very interested in the immunological aspects of cancer, and they had very interesting models that we essentially transferred to our laboratory with their assistance as part of our collaboration. And what we tried to do was to take two tumors, two solid tumors that exist in mouse. These are usually lung cancers, and they were of interest because they're solid, they can be measured. And what we did was to do a very simple initial assessment. If we disrupt sleep during your sleep time, as patients with sleep apnea would have it, but also anybody who's on call and receives phone calls or lives by an airport or in a very noisy environment or has any other disease such as depression or periodic leg movement disorder of sleep or many of the other things that disrupt sleep.
Right.
If you have bad quality sleep, we put the tumor into you at a very known quantity. A certain amount of cells will be injected into the mouse body. Will the tumor grow the same way that if you have normal sleep? That was the first question that we asked. And so we took one tumor. It's called the TC1 tumor. And we injected it into 100,000 cells into the flank of these mice. And some of them were exposed to fragmented sleep. Some of them were not. And what we found was that our hypothesis was kind of exciting because we found that the tumors of mice that were fragmented was growing much faster than those that were not fragmented.
Now, I have a question. I have a question here.
Sure.
Okay. So you created the fragmented sleep by waking the mice up, not by asphyxiating them, right?
That's correct.
So low levels of oxygen were removed from this scenario entirely.
That's correct.
Which is why I'm excited about that, because that this is something I have more questions about. So this is good. I just wanted to establish that. So let's go ahead.
So, yes, very important, because the way we did it was to wake up these mice using a special device that is completely automated that we had developed. We knew that the total amount of sleep of these mice is going to be constant. They're going to sleep the same amount as normal mice. The only difference, and we had done this in several studies that we published over the last few years, was that these mice now were not stressed. They were with the same buddies that they usually are. They could have access to food and water. So it's exactly the same as normal mice. The only difference is every 2 minutes, they will be gently awoken by an automated device that then will allow them to go back to sleep. And so there was no low levels of oxygen. There was nothing related to asphyxiation. There was nothing related to all the other bad things that sleep apnea does. The only thing was we were perturbing their sleep in a predictable fashion so that we could standardize it across all the experiments.
So this is about 240 times over the course of 8 hours.
That's correct.
Wow. And does that mimic? I'm sorry to keep interrupting, but I have so many questions right now. Does that mimic the average person who is clinically developed obstructive sleep apnea?
That's correct. And
wow.
That's why we used that kind of standard, because we wanted to mimic at least a condition that is very important, affects probably 4 to 10% of the general population of adults, is much more prevalent in elderly people or aging people, more than the age of 60. So all the areas and times where cancer can become an issue. And so we wanted to mimic that sleep apnea, at least from the sleep quality perspective, so that we could take, you know, and say, okay, we have standardized our patient. We've standardized it to the point that it can be repeated and replicated by any other laboratory. We are using a standard average patient profile of their sleep and the number of awakenings. We know how to fragment. We know that the total amount of sleep is the same. There's no issues of oxygen, no issues of any other thing. So now we can look specifically at how quality sleep, or poor quality sleep, as we defined it, is now going to affect tumor growth. And lo and behold, in this TC1 cell line that was injected to these mice, we saw that they were clearly much bigger than the tumor in mice that was not subjected to any perturbations of sleep.
Wow.
So we said maybe this is specific only to this TC1 cell type. Let's use another tumor cell. And we took another tumor cell, which is called the 3LLC. It's a very aggressive tumor that exists. Both of them, by the way, have replicates or similar patterns in humans that lead to certain types of lung cancer and solid tumors. And what we found was, again, the same thing. So this appears not to be specific to a certain type of tumors, but to be at least for this type of epithelial tumors that grow in both in humans and in mice, appears to be that if you have bad quality sleep, the tumor will grow faster and become bigger. So that was the first observation. The second observation was, and this was really a surprise to us, not only does it grow bigger, but it seems to be very invasive. The tumors change the way they invade surrounding tissues. And so these observations then prompted us to test a second potential hypothesis. Does it really, that poor quality sleep will actually lead to increased invasion? And to do that, then what we did was these tumors create normally, in normal conditions, create kind of a little sphere, if you wish, of tumor. So we injected it into the thigh because there's muscle, there's bone around it. It's a very contained space. So if the tumor is really very aggressive, it bursts through that capsule, that envelope. And so this is exactly what we found. We injected these tumor cells. We fragmented mice or did not fragment them. And those that were fragmented, we found that in almost all events, the tumor not only crossed the boundaries of the capsule, but it went into the muscle and in some times even ate the bone.
Wow.
What it means is that these tumors are not only growing faster, but they're also very aggressive. They're really bursting through the normal tissues and really invading everywhere, which is a very bad thing, right? And we know that in human tumors, if we see this behavior, we know that this is a very aggressive tumor. We really are very concerned when we see this type of pattern. And lo and behold, just disrupting sleep in these mice led to an increased invasiveness of these tumors. So now we had two major elements. One, they're growing more. Two, they're more invasive. And the question is why, right?
Yes, and that's where we're going now. And I want to take a break because when we come back, this is the discussion I'm looking for. I'm interested in knowing what biomarkers you may have looked at, like melatonin and insulin, and, of course, markers that have direct effects on tumor growth, like necrosis factor and growth factor. We're talking with Dr. David Ghazal. We're talking about how interrupted sleep may actually be fueling tumor growth. This is really important for anybody who knows someone who is dealing with a cancer right now, in my humble opinion. We've talked about it on this show for 9 years, how important sleep is. Sleep is not optional, folks. This notion that if you're living a high, productive life, that you can only get 4 hours of sleep and you should be proud of that, this is nonsense. This is going to 150, 200 years from now, we're going to look back at what we've done at this time and say, wow, they created the perfect storm for every disease possible. What geniuses we were. And sleep is part of the problem. It really, really is. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
This is one of those things I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to go, oh, damn, this didn't work out right.
He's serving up an all-you-can-eat buffet of brain food.
It's gotten worse for us who are overweight because we're now paying our fair share for things that we didn't have to before.
Get it while it's hot.
The fact that there's only 50% of the population is obese, that means the other 50% is doing something different.
You're listening to your daily dose of wisdom. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics Dynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. This is such an important discussion. It really, really is. So, Dr. Ghazal, what markers did you look at when you wanted to try to discover why tumors were in this fertile environment, if you will?
Well, that's a great question. So the first thing that we did is to look at the cells that are in the tumor. And because we know from the work of many, many other researchers and, cancer biologists, including our colleagues at the University of Louisville, that there are certain types of cells, such as lymphocytes or T cells or macrophages or other types of, immune cells, and that the immune system is very important. And therefore, that's why Bill Sutton, used to steal banks, because that's where the money is. So we knew that there is an immune system that is very important in regulating tumors. And therefore, we decided that we needed to look at those cells, since they are very likely candidates, that they are participating in the process. And lo and behold, what we found was that the number of these macrophages, what we call tumor-associated macrophages, these are the macrophages that have been linked to this less aggressive type, but appears to facilitate tumor growth, and that's why they call tumor-associated macrophages, and they've been linked to very bad outcomes in cancer in humans. We found that the number of TAMs, as we call them, tumor-associated macrophages, were much higher in the tumors of mice that had been fragmented in their sleep compared to those that were not. So for the, using a multiplicity of techniques, we found that indeed these TAMs were in higher numbers in the tumors of fragmented mice than those that were not, and that linked to those, or where in those areas where macrophages were present, we saw that there were new vessels that were being formed in those tumors, which, again, the more vessels you have, the more blood supply there is to the tumor, the more it can grow, and therefore this is a bad sign.
So this may indicate that vascular endothelial growth factors were probably being upregulated to create greater irrigation within the body of the tumor.
Could be. There are multiple factors that can lead to vascular growth. All we looked at, didn't specifically, these are work that we plan to conduct because we're interested in the drivers that lead to vascular endothelial growth factor and many other factors that have to do with vascular formation, what we call vascular neogenesis.
Right.
So the new vessel formation is very important. We're looking at this at the moment, so I can't really tell you because we're obviously doing blinded research that is important. But there are many other factors that are responsive to lead to vascular formation, and macrophages can release some of those factors, such as angiopoietins, vascular endothelial growth factor, stromal factors. That means that the architecture, all the cells that are involved in creating the net, the matrix for the growth of the tumor, can be, there are factors that will promote their growth, and these TAMs are actually very important in those. But this is now a sequel of the work. But what we found was, one, that the number of TAMs, kind of the supporters of cancer, were there, but two, that there was new vessel being formed in the areas of, particularly in the peripheral areas of the tumor, which is where the tumor is going to grow to, and that those two areas would suggest that indeed TAMs were playing a role because they were in such an increased number. So the third thing that we did was then to take those TAMs and start looking for markers that would tell us what is changed in those TAMs compared to the TAMs of tumors that of mice that were not fragmented. So how do they compare? And what we found was that there were, among many other markers, there were one marker that really was very interesting, and that was TLR4. So the expression of TLR4, toll-like receptor 4, in those macrophages was increased in the TAMs of mice that had been fragmented as compared to the tumor-associated macrophages in mice that were not fragmented. And that suggested that maybe the innate immune system, which is obviously part of the macrophages are part of it, was being altered, and that could lead or potentially be associated with the differences that we were seeing between fragmented mice and non-fragmented mice.
Are there other things that influence TLR4? I keep coming back. The reason I'm asking this is because there's been a lot of good research, and we've done some shows on the linkage between the development, the onset and development of cancers, and some metabolic influences that may affect some early changes on a mitochondrial level to anaerobic glycolysis, for instance. So are there other things that influence TLR4 perhaps further upstream that maybe are not necessarily in this model of, you know, interrupted sleep?
So we don't know.
Okay.
That's
okay.
The end point. But there are several things. One is we have shown in work that obviously has been published now that fragmented sleep also alters metabolism.
Right.
And it leads to insulin resistance. It leads to obesity. It promotes adipose tissue inflammation. So the fat tissue becomes inflamed. We know that this leads to oxidative stress. We know that it leads to inflammatory processes through increased release. Fragmented sleep leads to increased release of a cytokine called tumor necrosis factor,
right,
which is, and at low levels in the tissue, it will promote the recruitment of certain inflammatory cells and the innate system. So it could well be that some of that could have triggered the increased expression of TLR4 in the macrophages of fragmented mice compared to those that didn't. But we are not certain. We have not looked at the upstream. We just took these tumor-associated macrophages in this work and said, okay, what is different about these compared to the normal TAMs that would be present in normal conditions if you had a tumor like this? And what we found was, well, we found TLR4 that was very high. We also found another marker, which is associated with growth of vasculature, which is called FIS1. But the important thing is that attracted our attention was, okay, TLR4 is really, really high in fragmented tumors in those macrophages. What is going on? So we had tools. We have genetic tools. And that's why we zeroed in immediately on this TLR4, because we have availability of mice that have no TLR4.
You know,
and so
this is an interesting discussion, and I'll tell you why. Because we started off talking about obstructive sleep apnea. But there, as you pointed out so eloquently, there are so many reasons that people don't sleep well. Even people who maybe don't live in a high-noise environment, like by a freeway or something like that. You know, there's people out there who sleep with the TV on all night long for companionship. You're not sleeping well. You're in and out of sleep. You're not going into the deepest phases of sleep. You're not going through the cycles of sleep. Your sleep is basically being interrupted in one way or another. This is a problem that's prevalent today, and especially with youngsters who sleep with their cell phones next to their bed, and they receive text messages dozens of times throughout the night. And even if you don't completely wake up, it brings you out of the pathway of normal sleep. So this is really what you're discussing here. While we started out talking about obstructive sleep apnea, which this is the worst condition, cannot be ignored that we in this society and abroad in other countries have made sleep something that's optional. We really don't need to sleep. And Its effect on obesity and other diseases is profound. Did you look at melatonin levels at all in these mice, or is that something that you could do later on?
We have done some work on the circadian cycle that in mice that are fragmented, and we don't see disruption of the circadian rhythms, which is important. But what we see is really that the interrupted sleep has major profound consequences in many, many systems, in the adipose tissue, in the fat tissue. We're now showing on cancer. We have shown before on cognitive function and the ability to memory and to learn and on depression. So there is a whole array of consequences associated with poor quality sleep that many investigators, including our group, has been interested in, including in children. And that's why we believe that, as you said, it's very important, because let's assume we all our bodies, once in a while, produce a cancer cell. That's part of the way that our body works. And the immune system normally recognizes it and destroys it. And that's why we don't develop cancers. Now, as the immune system works and becomes weaker with aging, then the likelihood that one occasional cancerous cell being formed in specific organ may go completely unrecognized, and that's where it sees itself and may develop a tumor, right? Develop cancer. So if you are now, as you said, you're texting, you're getting all these commercials that wake you up during because they raise the tone of the TV or the whatever it is. If you live in a noisy environment, in a light environment that is not very good when you don't have high quality sleep, or if you have one of the diseases of sleep that we talked about, then you're going to be fragmented. And let's say that your immune system, as we were discussing, is not going to be as attentive. It's going to be a little bit more forgiving, okay, to that cancer cell that may have been formed by the natural process of probabilistic generation of cancer cells. Well, it may go unrecognized, or it may seed itself more easily. We don't know, but it definitely, if it does, then the likelihood that it will grow more aggressively is, as we think, as we show in our study, is likely. And if that's the case, then that's not a good thing.
Let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to ask you where we go from here and also what you hope that both clinicians and lay people take away from your research. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
They say that tough love is sometimes the best advice. Well, he's got the toughest love.
Why you should not drink diet sodas, it's very, very simple. If you don't subscribe to the idea that they're toxic, fine. Then subscribe to the idea that they cause a derangement in insulin response. If you don't subscribe to that, fine. Then subscribe to the idea that they spike insulin. I mean, it's like, do whatever you want, but why do we need science to tell us to stop consuming more chemicals? Are you really that pathetically addicted to something that's not good for you? Then say it. Say, I'm addicted to these things that I can't help myself. I know they're bad for me. I'm going to keep using them, and then we don't have to do research.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose-free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 5-pound jug of Pure Whey Isolate for $50 and free shipping. It's the lowest price you'll find anywhere, guaranteed. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code SHR today. Limit one per household.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workout the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's a really important discussion. We're going to continue this discussion in a different direction when Drs. Perlindahl and Dr. Martin Burgo join us all the way from Sweden to talk about how too much of a good thing may not be a good thing. Antioxidants may actually fuel some cancer growths. Right now we're talking with Dr. David Ghazal. His group has done an amazing duty here publishing this paper, because we take our sleep for granted. I don't. I'm in bed at 9 o'clock every night. I'm a dull person. I know I'm not fun anymore like I was when I was young. But you know what? I want to live long and I want to be strong. And part of the longevity prescription is protect your sleep, protect your sleep, protect your sleep. We talk about it all the time. You know, Dr. Ghazal, this is really an important wake-up call. Your paper, in my humble opinion. There are people out there who have suffered from cancers or haven't developed them yet and may have them in the future sometime. And we know that there are some dietary changes that can help, once they have been treated, remain cancer-free. One of the things I think is not discussed enough is that protecting their sleep could be part of the therapeutic process. Am I overreaching by saying that?
I don't think so. Of course, all these things need to be proven with the appropriate controlled trials, but it is just a matter of logic. Just based on the findings that we have in this mouse experiment, which, you know, how much of that can apply to humans? Well, I think a lot, because we have found that the same perturbations of sleep that lead to metabolic disturbance occur both in humans and in mouse. We know that the perturbations of sleep that leads to cognitive and behavioral and mood deficits in the mouse lead to the same things in human. Right. So, you know, if you want to continue that way, well, the perturbations that occur in the mouse in sleep lead to cardiovascular consequences, lead to the same things in humans. So let's put it together and say, okay, it's not a big jump to say that the perturbations of sleep that leads to bad cancer outcomes in the mouse maybe should potentially lead to similar consequences in the human. And of course, we need to test those. But I think that at least it provides a biological plausibility that indeed it's worthwhile to do those studies. Now, the important thing, and I always say, that sleep is like a bank account. You know, you take care of your bank account. You don't want to be in overdraft. You don't want to have less sleep than you need. You need to take care of it. But it's also quality. And quality is very important. You know, you prefer to have a great car to prefer to have a very high quality thing than to have an average quality. And so it will perform better, it will last longer, it won't get broken many times. And so sleep is really something that we need to nurture, and it's a long-term investment, such as nutrition is, such as exercise is. All the good things that are good for you need to be done in the appropriate dose. That's the number of hours, but also in the quality of what you do. And so if you eat the same amount of calories, but they're not very good calories, it's a poor quality, then you may be still at risk. And it's the same thing for sleep. So our study, I think, sets a little bit of a stage where many things need to be investigated as far as mechanisms, as far as pathways, and I think we're just opening a little Pandora box. But at the same time, I think that it preemptively sets an alarm, no pun intended, for all those that disregard sleep quality and the amount of sleep and do not engage in the appropriate healthy sleep behaviors that ultimately should protect them in all the aspects that we have discussed.
You know, I started to develop some sleep problems. I noticed them right away. I would wake up in the morning. I didn't feel rested. I felt terrible. It also occurred at the same time that my allergies started to bother me. I recognized that my stuffy nose was causing me to breathe through my mouth all night long. And when I got my head in a certain position on the pillow, I would snore so loud. And the air was being cut off. And these moments of asphyxiation, the body recognized these as highly stressful events. Now, I was not waking up every 2 minutes, but it led me to first record with a digital recorder, audio recorder, my sleep, where there were three episodes throughout the night where I took very, very prolonged pauses in breathing and then gasped afterwards, which led me to video myself during sleep. And I'll tell you something. Video yourself during sleep. Do yourself a favor. Look at, you know, we lay down and go to sleep on our back, and maybe we wake up on our side, but what goes on in the middle of the night is a mystery, and you need to be aware of this. Are you really sleeping well? You can do this at home. You don't have to go for, you can go for a sleep evaluation if you learn that, wow, I've got a real problem. Video yourself sleeping one night. See how restless you are, or see how calm and relaxed you are. Make sure you record the audio. Listen to your breathing. Is it rhythmic? Is it regular? Is it unobstructed? Or do you find yourself pausing and holding your breath? There's two types of sleep apnea, right? There's one, I can't think of the name of it right now, but it doesn't have anything to do with your airway passages. It has something to do with some sort of brain function where you hold your breath. Check these things out, folks, now, while you can still deal with them before you have a disease that you're fighting against and then have to deal with them.
Absolutely. And so just to wrap a little bit so that the interesting part about when we use these mice that did not have this TLR4, which is important, was that once we were able to take that out, that TLR4, well, the tumors, the difference between the fragmented mice and the non-fragmented mice disappeared. So that's why we think that it's really a very important component of how sleep affects the innate immune system and makes these macrophages less watchful over cancer. And ultimately, if we don't sleep well, we are at risk of really getting a much more aggressive and bigger cancer. And I, as you indicated, we need to pay attention and watch the same way that we watch the way we eat, the same way that we watch our health and take care of it during the daytime. You know, there's a reason why we need to sleep, and we need to pay attention to the quality and quantity of sleep that we have in order to make the best of all the 24 hours of the day, not just restrict our attention to the times that we're awake and then completely ignore everything mm-hmm. else that happens during the night, because that will be a very fatal mistake.
Can you give us a peek behind the curtain of what the next study would look like without divulging any protected information?
Sure. Well, there are two things. One, we still want to understand the second aspect of sleep apnea, whether this intermittent hypoxia is actually affecting the growth of tumors. That's one area that we're pursuing.
Right.
Second, we want to understand how sleep regulates the growth of the vessels in the tumor. And second, does it affect the actual metabolism of the cancer inside each of the cancer cells? And you talked about mitochondria. We know that from our studies in adipose tissue that and in other that fragmented sleep or disrupted sleep or poor quality sleep lead to changes in the metabolic processes that regulate every one of those cells, and we want to understand better how that happens and whether cancer cells themselves develop a different utilization of the usual energy substrates like glucose or sugars or fats and what have you, and protein, and how do they use these building blocks to grow faster. So we want to understand how these tumor cells may become more aggressive and proliferate faster and be able to mature faster by through the sleep disrupted process. So that too is, those are areas that we're interested in identifying. And three, I think that we are going to be working with colleagues that see patients or have cohorts of patients with cancer to try and see whether the poor quality of sleep is really associated with poor outcomes, not just the amount of sleep, but also the quality of sleep. So
right.
We're going to be doing quite a bit of that work to make sure that we can really translate the work from the laboratory back to the real human world and see that indeed we put real flags of alerts and alarms to people so that they understand that they really, if they have cancer, they need to do the best that they can to have the best sleep that they can, because that will help them fight cancer.
Well,
and
I want to inject something here, no pun intended. One of the things that you need to look at is these new pharmaceutical drugs that are being used for sleep, which in my humble opinion, and I am not a scholar or a scientist, this is just critical thinking. We know that these drugs that make you lay still for 8 hours at a time don't necessarily allow you to go through all of the phases of sleep appropriately. So they may be just as big culprits as being awakened every 2 minutes. I would love to see how these, and obviously you're going to have a hard time funding this one because the pharmaceutical industry won't want this to get out, but drugs like Lunestra and these other drugs that are being used for sleep today, how they affect the etiology of cancers. Do they really help someone get good sleep that becomes protective, or are they part of the problem?
Well, those are interesting perspectives, not ones that I would
touch with a 10-foot pole.
Not one that I can really address, because obviously these are important areas, but they have very complicated components. Many of the hypnotics or the drugs that are used for facilitating sleep and for insomnia have a role, and they are being studied in a very thorough fashion by unbiased groups. So I think that we need to be careful when we make assumptions one way or the other. But at the same time, we definitely need to pay attention to how do certain medications that are used for sleep, how do they ultimately, how do they affect the quality of sleep, and how do they affect all these things that we have talked about during this program.
David, Dr. Ghazal, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on the show today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Take
care. Have a great day.
You too. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have two scientists from Sweden talking about maybe antioxidants may not be the right thing to take if you are fighting cancer. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's exposing the man behind the curtain in the organic discussion.
Whole Foods is getting prepared for this onslaught of new customers by finding ways to fool them into buying things that aren't organic, thinking that they are, which is the way they led into the industry. Back in the day when people remember Whole Foods, there were people that going in there and going, oh, well, this is all organic. I bought it at Whole Foods. And, oh, no. They do sell conventional stuff there. They do? Yeah.
Exposing the myths in our grocery stores.
And then Whole Foods started labeling it more clearly what was organic and what was conventional. But there was a whole period of time where people were buying what they thought was organic when it wasn't. And they were charging more. Whole Foods prices was a conventionally grown produce, similar price to what other stores were selling organic, and that made it even more confusing for the consumer. They thought, well, how could it be? I just paid $3.45 for a pound of apples. That's what that store sells organic. You're telling me I bought conventional apples? Yep, you did.
Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides. Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinus Stain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to superhumanradio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. Well, we had a little technological hiccup here. Our international lines would not allow us to have both Dr. Perlindahl and Dr. Martin Burgo on the show at the same time. We'll look into why that is at a later time. We do have Dr. Martin Burgo on. How you doing, Dr. Burgo?
I'm great. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on, too. We want to talk about this recent paper that you published with your group, and it's a very, very important discussion. How antioxidants may actually accelerate certain types of cancers. Describe the design of the study first, please.
Well, so we focused on lung cancer, first of all, because it's the most common form of cancer in the world. And we decided to look at specifically what happens when the mice already have a small tumor in their lungs, okay, rather than looking at what antioxidants will do to a future cancer risk. Okay. We wanted to know what happens in an existing small tumor. And so we started by giving the mice acetylcysteine, which is a potent antioxidant that's used both as a supplement and as a drug. And that's where we saw this striking effect on tumor burden in the mice.
And so now N-acetylcysteine is actually used for hepatic protection. Widespread, but you're right. It also has a benefit as being a very powerful antioxidant. Is there a reason why you chose that instead of one of the more mainstream vitamin C or fat-soluble type like vitamin E?
Well, Well, actually, when we started this study, this was actually a serendipitous finding. We were studying something completely different in another project. And so the first result was a surprising one. And because the impact of the acetylcysteine was so large on the tumors, you know, and the mice died twice as fast,
wow,
we decided to look into this in much greater detail. And and you know, this acetylcysteine is used in patients with COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder,
mm-hmm,
to relieve mucus production. That's a widespread use of this antioxidant.
Right, right.
So explain,
did you use a certain type of mouse that is predisposed to cancer? Then how did you give them the tumor, if you will? And then what happened when you used the placebo versus the acetylcysteine?
So these mouse models that we use are probably the most widely used right now in research all over the world on lung cancer. So they're not predisposed per se to develop cancer by chance. So what we do is that we give them a small virus down their lungs, and they are genetically modified so that when they see this virus, a cancer protein or an oncogene is turned on in the lung cells.
Uh-huh.
And this leads to the normal cell being converted into a tumor cell. And then a small tumor will grow and then eventually progress.
Okay, so
then we had litter mates.
Okay,
you know, that we gave all of the mice this early lung cancer, and then we randomized them to two groups. In the first experiment, one with acetylcysteine in the drinking water, and then one with without.
And what did you see?
So then we saw when we looked at the tumors and quantified tumor burden after a certain time. The mice that received the acetylcysteine had threefold more tumors, and the tumors were larger, more advanced in stage. And then we looked at survival in another experiment, where the survival was essentially cut in half.
Were they also more aggressive tumors? Did they infiltrate surrounding tissue faster, or was that all assumed if they were growing faster?
No, so they were more tumors. The tumors were larger, and they had a more advanced histological grade. We did not look at metastasis, you know, which is the end point,
right,
of progression, really. But we will do that in upcoming studies.
So now let's talk about something. You know, I've said on this show time and time again, the good news about over-the-counter dietary supplements is they work. The bad news is they work. And people need to look at their supplementation the same way you would look at pharmaceutical drug use. And what I mean by that is you need to understand that sometimes too much of a good thing becomes a bad thing. So when we look at the progression of these tumors, do we see a pathway? I know that reactive oxygen species, which is talked about always as an enemy, actually is beneficial in helping to destroy tumors. And in fact, one of the effects of IGF-1 in the body has a push-pull. While IGF-1 helps growth, it also is a powerful antioxidant that suppresses reactive oxygen species in certain tumors. So was this exclusively the way the antioxidant worked, just by suppressing the ROS, or was there another pathway here?
No, so I think that our conclusion from this study is that the effect is pretty simple. So, I mean, in a normal cell, the reason that people would take antioxidants is that to protect the normal cell from reactive oxygen species, which in turn can induce DNA damage, and that can induce cancer. I mean, that's sort of the rationale for using antioxidants.
Right.
But so we can help a healthy cell and protect it by giving it antioxidants.
Right.
But what it turns out is that if you have a tumor cell, one of these small tumors that we looked at, the antioxidant is starting to help the tumor cell because it's in the tumor cell's interest to also keep reactive oxygen species low.
Right.
Right?
Right.
One of the ways you can kill a tumor cell, for example, radiation therapy and other types of anti-cancer strategies, leads to a burst of reactive oxygen species.
Right, hyperoxidation. Exactly. Exactly.
That's already what you alluded to before. So what we showed is that the antioxidants reduce these ROS, reactive oxygen species, it reduces DNA damage in the tumor cell, and it sort of deactivates a tumor suppressive protein called P53. And that sort, that is sort of what we believe happens, and then the tumor cell can grow faster.
Now,
it's very simple. The antioxidant is helping the tumor by doing what it's supposed to do,
right?
Scavenging
and
radicals.
Well, so the antioxidant is not tissue specific. It's indiscriminate in who it protects from oxidation. In the case of healthy cells, it's a good thing. In the case of tumor cells, it's a bad thing. The discussion becomes, are you at high risk for cancer? And then are you taking antioxidants? Could that actually help the cancer? We have to take a quick commercial break, Dr. Burgo. And when we come back, I've got lots more good questions for you. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's your personal watchdog.
Is anyone awake up at Capitol Hill?
Sniffing out the corruption in our healthcare policies.
You are literally selling the population of this wonderful country to a death sentence.
He's Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On the Superhuman Radio Network.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first six-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
A special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on superhumanradio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane.
Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose-free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 5-pound jug of Pure Whey Isolate for $50 and free shipping. It's the lowest price you'll find anywhere, guaranteed. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code SHR today. Limit one per household.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Martin Burgo. We're talking about
how
some individuals may not benefit from antioxidant use, especially if they are obviously in this particular research paper points to dealing with lung cancer. Now, did it say in the paper also that you did look at vitamin E or you did not look at vitamin E?
So after we had studied acetylcysteine, we wanted to look at a dietary antioxidant. And we chose vitamin E because it's a potent antioxidant and also because it's structurally completely different from acetylcysteine.
Right.
So, you know, we argued that acetylcysteine, because it relieves mucus production, that it might affect lung cancer development because of that.
Yes.
But we wanted to sort of control for that and to choose an antioxidant without the mucus relieving properties. So then we chose vitamin E, and we mixed that in the diet then of the mice. And there we decided also to look at dose. So we did a low dose and a higher dose. And we saw exactly the same thing basically with vitamin E as we saw with acetylcysteine, and that the effect on tumors was dose dependent.
Now, this is not an indictment of antioxidants. I don't think that people should go through their cabinets and start throwing their antioxidants away. I think what people need to realize is that, like oxygen, which can also fuel cancer growth, and we're not suggesting you start asphyxiating yourself to make sure you never develop a cancer, antioxidants work, and they are indiscriminate in who they help. They will help bad cells and good cells protect against oxidative stress. I think that this discussion really points to people who have known cancers. Would you agree with that?
I would agree that, I mean, we can't really make any general recommendations based on this study. But, I mean, if you combine it with all the clinical studies that have been done when it comes to lung cancer and prostate cancer with antioxidant supplementation, it sort of points to the fact that it does not protect against cancer. And the reason is that you just said, you know, it's the antioxidant is helping the bad guy. So in a completely tumor-free person, antioxidants may still protect, you know, against the future risk of developing cancer. But the problem is, who knows who has a small tumor in their lungs,
right.
You know?
Right.
It's impossible to know. You could, if you, you know, you could have a small tumor that you walk around with for years, maybe your whole life, and it's never going to amount to anything. And so that's the risk, I guess.
Well, but we can even go a little bit further upstream and say that, for instance, individuals who are regular cigarette smokers, number one, or individuals who work in an environment or have been exposed to things in an environment that are well understood to precipitate the development of lung diseases that lead to cancers or tumors in the lungs. These individuals need to be careful of their use of antioxidants, because the antioxidants, again, while helping the good cells in their body, may actually promote the increase in their risk of developing these cancers later on, right?
That's exactly what I would say. I would say that in people with lung cancer or with an increased risk, then antioxidants should probably be used with caution, because there's a potential that it might worsen the disease and or accelerate the growth of a small tumor.
P53, you mentioned this a moment ago, the expression of P53. This is a protein?
Yes, so it's called the guardian of the genome. So it's one of the most studied proteins of all time. And it interacts with 1,000 different things in the cell. But what it does is it senses danger signals in the cell, and it can trigger programs to stop the cell from growing, stop the cell from dividing. And it can even decide to kill the cell if the damage has become too great. So P53 was studied a lot because it is also mutated or inactivated in about 50% of all human cancers. So it's very important when it comes to cancer development.
Now, there's no indication that antioxidants have a intrinsic or direct effect on P53, right?
Well, because P53 can sense the oxygen or the redox system sort of in the cell,
right.
It can sense DNA damage. The antioxidant I can't answer that question if it interacts directly, but certainly what we see then is that when the these extra antioxidants reduce reactive oxygen species in the tumor cell, we can detect clearly that DNA damage goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And DNA damage is the main trigger of P53. So in the absence of this main trigger, P53 levels go down. And this, we believe, is what drives the tumor cell forward.
Will you be doing research now on other types of cancer?
Yeah, so we want to look at both other types of antioxidants and other types of cancer, because we can't say anything other than lung cancer in this case. So we will be looking at malignant melanoma and leukemias and probably gastrointestinal tumors. And we will probably study beta-carotene, which is another important dietary antioxidant.
But now beta-carotene is an antioxidant, but it's also a precursor to, in some individuals,
vitamin A.
In some individuals, it's clear or not clear on how many people have the ability to convert beta-carotene or carotenoids to vitamin A at this point in time. But vitamin A obviously has a role in stem cell differentiation, which could have a totally different added a totally different aspect to the development of cancers, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And I mean, the antioxidants and the various vitamins could do a lot of other things in addition, you know, to healthy cells, in addition to what it can do on the tumor. So at this point, we need to, you know, stay focused and look at the effect of the antioxidant on the tumor cells. So that's what we're going to do. And another thing we need to look at is this patient group with chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder, to see if we can see from records whether their use of acetylcysteine actually correlates with an increased risk of a lung cancer diagnosis. So that's possible to do retrospectively. So
I was going to say there's got to be database of information out there, correct?
Yes, there's a lot of it. You just have to know where to look and how to use the data.
I didn't know that acetylcysteine was used for COPD. I do know that it seems to have a mild but effective ability to reduce mucus production. But, you know, mucus production is an important thing. I mean, the lining of the stomach and the intestines depends on the mucosal lining. And mucus is kind of a first line of defense to attack particulate matter passing through the nostrils and kind of part of the filtration system. So I can't imagine that reducing mucus too much is really a wise thing.
No, the reason, I mean, it's a sort of a lifesaver for some COPD patients, because they can, you know, they have really trouble breathing effectively when they don't take acetylcysteine. So, you know, it might be important to try to develop new antimucolytic drugs that are not antioxidants. You know, if this turns out to be relevant for this patient group, which we don't know yet.
And so, in summary, what would you like individuals out there to take away from this research? And the reason I'm asking you to summarize this is because I know that right now there are a lot of people listening to this show going, that's it. I'm backing off of my antioxidant intake because I don't know if I have like a cancer cell somewhere harboring itself in me. And especially since there is some other research out there that shows that vitamin C plays a role on collagen production, and collagen production is part of the sequestration process of the immune system to keep tumor cells from seeding healthy tissue. Now, that's going to pose another conundrum in this discussion. What would you hope that people take away from this research?
Well, first of all, we have only studied lung cancer so far. There are some clinical evidence from these large clinical trials that vitamin E will worsen the risk of developing prostate cancer. So it pr- probably going to be important in other cancer forms. But then again, it might be that antioxidant supplementation, you know, high doses will actually protect against some forms of cancer. We don't know that. But overall, I would say that combined with these large clinical studies that show that antioxidants can worsen the risk of lung cancer or increase it, and combined with our studies now showing that if you have a small tumor, antioxidant supplementation can accelerate it. You should just use antioxidants with caution.
Yeah.
That's the take-home message. And consider those things. And I always, of course, advocate, you know, moderate use of everything, personally.
Yeah. The lowest effective dose is the way to go, in my humble opinion. Well, this is all good information. What it does is it validates the fact that antioxidants work. But again, they're indiscriminate in the type of tissue they work on. And if you have tissue that the body is trying to get rid of, it could keep it from being able to do that. So, again, the discussion will be continued. Listen, I want to thank you so much, Dr. Burgo, for making time to come on Superhuman Radio today.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Take care.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to be joined by James Meadows, and we're going to talk about how modern architectural changes may actually be fueling the proliferation and adaptation of bacteria. Yuck. We'll be right back.
He's keeping tabs on government health agencies.
It's called the Environmental Protection Agency.
Carl Lenore.
Where is the protection? Where is the protection?
Superhuman Radio.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Now I'm lost. I'm screaming for help.
Welcome back. Whenever the discussion of the microbiome occurs on this show, we always talk about the microbiome of the inner landscape of our body. We're joined by James Meadow today from the University of Oregon to talk about the microbiome of your building that you're in right now. How you doing, James?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Fantastic. So let's first talk about how this evolved. I guess there was a building called the Lillis Business Complex that was designed to be a sustainable building at the University of Oregon, correct?
That's right. Yeah.
What made you want to go digging around and sniffing the bacteria that was growing there?
That's a good question. So I'll get back to the building in a second, but sort of as the broad overview of why we would want to know that, you know, I guess from my own perspective, you know, I'm the sort of person, I don't even like being inside of buildings. I would rather be outside most of the time, but
right. When
I count up my hours, I'm inside all the time. I'm inside 90% of my day, and most of us are. And so it comes as kind of a surprise that although these are the bacteria that we interact with all day long throughout our lives, we know almost nothing about what drives them, what moves them around, and what determines what we come into contact with. So, and you mentioned that, you know, we tend to talk about the human microbiome and what's inside, but in fact, there's a lot of overlap between the human microbiome and the built environment microbiome.
Right.
Sort of that's what we study, is the intersection between the two. So the building itself it's about a decade old. Some of the architects who wrote this paper with us that we work with, they helped design that building, and it was a big deal when it was built. It's a huge multi-use building. It's got a lot of different sorts of activities going on, classrooms, offices, meeting rooms, auditoriums, things like that. And it's a very efficient building. It's a silver LEED building. I think it might have been the first in Oregon at the time. And because we were working with the architects that designed this building, we had a lot of insight into what sort of questions we were able to ask about how we change ventilation or about how different uses in a building contribute to the microbes that we come into contact with. So it was really convenient, and it also happens to be about a block away from our office, so it made sense all around.
Right. Okay, so, and this is really an interesting discussion as well, because we're going to be doing a show very shortly that discusses the biodiversity of the inner microbiome and how that's affected by the outer microbiome and what we are, you know, it's estimated that we have lost tens of thousands of types of microbiota in the gut just because we've eliminated them from our environment. So let's talk about the environment for a second as it relates to what you discovered in this building. What did you discover when you started to look around at the microbiome that was in the building? And where did you look? Did you look in air handling ducts and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So let's see. We've now published three different papers on this building in particular. We did sort of an intensive study on what sort of things that we do influence the built environment microbiome. So the first one that we published was about indoor air. When you, say, open windows instead of get air through a duct system, you find a massive difference. You tend to come into contact with microbes that hang out on plants and in soils, and it's kind of assumed that that's generally a good thing as long as
Right. Outdoor
air isn't heavily polluted. And then when you're in a really heavily occupied room, even if it's only a few people, two things happen. One is that humans give off a cloud of microbes. My skin right now is giving it off, and so is yours. And there's some coming out of my hair, even though I'm not really doing anything. They're just actively shedding off. And the other thing that happens is that the stuff in dust inside of buildings constantly builds up over years and years. And when we're inside of a building, that gets disturbed and it floats around, and so we have a chance to come into contact with that.
I imagine Linus from Charlie Brown right
exactly.
now, right? Everywhere he went, there was a pile of dust hovering around him. So
yeah, so we actually have a study right now looking at exactly that concept, that we all give off this human microbial cloud, and And I throw that slide in every once in a while because we're all familiar with that, but yet we don't really realize that it relates to all of us. We're all doing that all the time. Yeah. And so when you're in a building, you know, when you occupy a room, you find a lot of human-associated microbes, the things that hang out in our skin or in our spit. When you stir up dust, you tend to find things that have come in through the ventilation system or that we've brought in from outdoors. That tends to be a lot of what you find in buildings is what we bring into it. And so that, I think, is one of the interesting parts of this study.
So the more people that occupy a building and for the longer period of time, the diversity of the microbiome in the building ends up being adapted from what they give off.
Yeah, I would say that's true. Yeah, the more people that are in a building, the more we have a chance to contribute to that built environment microbiome, even a really well-cleaned building. So as a sort of an extreme example, you know, if you look in restrooms, and this is kind of well-known in the last few years, there's a few studies that have shown this, that anywhere you touch in a restroom, anywhere we look for DNA in a restroom, you're going to find stuff that hangs out in the human gut. It's just the way it is. When you flush a toilet, a billion water particles aerosolize and take with them little tiny bacteria that we just put into the toilet.
Well, let me ask you a question, something I've always believed. If you can smell something, that means that there is microscopic particulate matter airborne that's reaching the sensors in your nose. Isn't that true?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Which really, but now when you walk into a stinky bathroom, think about that. So
yeah, that's right.
Okay, all right.
We're taking it in, but the other side of this is that there's not really much evidence that that's a bad thing, unless you're, say, in a hospital bathroom that's riddled with MRSA or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not really any reason to think that it's bad to come into contact with what other humans have on them. In fact, there's a good reason to believe that we need that from time to time. You know, if we take antibiotics, well, it's maybe a really good thing to come into contact with that to reseed our own microbiome.
Yes, and that's why when I'm at the gym and someone gets off of a machine and it's mildly, I don't mean dripping with sweat, but it's moist from their sweat, and I go, don't worry about it, don't rub it. I say it's good for my immune system. And they always laugh when they say that. I say that, but it's true.
It could very well be true, yeah. I think we don't know a whole lot about it, but if you really think about where we get these things in our lifetime, there's a lot of truth to that. You know, there's good reason why babies put everything in their mouth, and that's because that's the time when they're coming into contact with what's eventually going to seed their guts and seed their mouths and their whole, build up their immune system.
Right, right. So when you looked at the dust in these rooms and these air handling systems, did you find anything shocking? Did you find any microbiome that you were like, oh, man, this is not good?
I wouldn't say not good, no. So we kind of shied away from looking for pathogens or anything like that. And the funny things about pathogens is if you look hard enough, you'll find really scary things in places that are not scary and in ways that are not actually causing a risk. But when you report that, it sort of gets blown out of proportion.
Yeah, you're right.
So we kind of tried to shy away from pathogens because if we look, we'd probably find them just about everywhere. But one of the cool things about this study, one thing that we found, there's a bacterium called Deinococcus. It's not particularly abundant really anywhere. It hangs out in soils. You find it in flowers before they open up. You find it on plant leaves. And it's really, really tough. It can hang out in the most harsh of conditions. So it can withstand really bad UV radiation. You know, when you irradiate beef in the food production market, Deinococcus tends to be the only thing that hangs out. And that's not really a bad thing. What we found is that it's all over this building. It was actually the most common thing that we found. And here's why I think that's interesting, that Deinococcus, in addition to being UV resistant, can also hang out for years and years without water. So it can desiccate. It can dry out over time and then be just fine, repair its DNA. Other bacteria can't do that as well. So what I think is probably happening is that over the last 10 years, little bits of this bacterium, small populations come in through the ductwork, and then that tends to be one of the only things that's able to accumulate years and years while everything else dries out and dies. So I think that was one of the interesting, surprising things that we found.
Because it's robust and can survive. And somebody in the studio just asked me if you said the bacteria defecates. You said desiccates, which is to dry out. Yeah, okay.
Yep, with an F. Yeah. So it's it can dry out. Most things that'll kill. That'll kill us too, right? It breaks down our DNA, among other things. And this bacterium in particular has no problem. It rejuvenates its DNA. It puts it all back together. Other types of bacteria can't do that as well.
Now, is it what kind of variety did you find? I mean, what was the diversity of the microbiome that you found in this building?
Right. So, it's hard to put a number on that because, you know, sometimes we're looking at individual species. That's kind of what we assume we're looking at. But it's hard to put that level on a bacteria because they're so variable. But we found, you know, tens of thousands of different types looking in a few hundred rooms, and that's not a surprising level of diversity. I think that where it becomes interesting for me is not in the number of things, because we know we're always covered in thousands of different types of bacteria, but the abundance of sources and the ways that our choices actually change those sources, whether that's outdoor air through a window or whether that's through ductwork or whether that's strictly from humans depositing dust in the building or on surfaces around the building.
The reason I ask that is because one of the papers I read a long time ago from the Wenner Gren Foundation indicated that one time humans had some 22,000 variety of microbes in their gut, and today it's like 2,200. I may be off on the numbers somewhere, but it was that vast. And I'm just wondering if those microbes live somewhere else and we just need to be reintroduced to them. And if so, should we start crawling through the ductwork in the building? You know what I mean?
So I'm not familiar with that study. That's an interesting idea. I think that rather than crawling through ductwork, we should be spending more time crawling around in the dirt and in the plants.
Yeah.
Because that's what we've been doing for thousands and thousands of years, and it's worked pretty well up to this point.
I
think that that's a good point.
I just did a show a couple months ago that it took me a year and a half to have someone come on and actually talk about it because they were afraid that people would take it literally and start doing it. But we talked about geophagy. You know, but obviously where you get the dirt from and the type of dirt and all these other things have to play in a role. But, you know, it's probably why people who garden – I mean, I worked on the racetrack. I've talked about this openly on the show. When I was in high school, I worked at Aqueduct, Belmont, and Saratoga. And I assumed that I was eating horse manure from time to time because I handled it and then I ate my lunch. But now from what you're saying, it was the particulate matter was in the air and I was breathing it constantly. I never got sick,
certainly,
never got the flu, never even got a cold when I was working at the racetrack. And when you talk to farmers and farmers' children, you find out that they have robust immune systems. They're very, very healthy. And they work with the soil. They work with the animals. They work in this environment that, quote unquote, is dangerous if you believe the people who sell hand sanitizer. Meanwhile, they seem to be doing better than the rest of us.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And I think that, for one thing, there's not enough science around this. And we're still trying to come to grips with where our microbiome should come from. But there's some really interesting studies coming out recently that say that, for instance, you know, we very likely get a lot of important bacteria from our dogs that live in our houses. You know, I have a dog, I have so much dust in my house from that dog, and there's a good chance that I'm getting stuff from that dog that has been in my microbiome for thousands of years. You know, we've evolved with these things. We evolved with livestock. We evolved in the fields working on plants. We evolved outside and not necessarily in buildings. And so I think that you're spot on. That I tend to think of this from the perspective of human evolution. You know, what did we evolve to come into contact with? And if we've lost contact with some of those things, that we should probably evaluate whether we should reconnect or not. And there's somewhere in there, there's a happy medium between cholera outbreaks and asthma and allergies, right? And
we've
just got to strike that happy medium somewhere in there.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up this interview. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with James Meadow. We're talking about the things that live in the building that you're sitting in right now. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
on Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable, but finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Build muscle. Burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with James Meadow. We're talking about the microbiome of the building that you're in right now. So James, this is relatively new frontier. I like the way the article said where I guess science and architecture intersect. But what does it all mean? I mean, is this much ado about nothing? Or how can this influence us in the future? And what should we take away from this?
That's a great question. So you're right, it is totally a new field. No one's really been thinking about this except in light of hospitals and pathogens. We've known a lot of this stuff for a while because of pathogens.
Right.
But if we only look at it that way, then really buildings are terrifying when in fact they're not. They're totally safe places to be. So I think the way I think of it, the direction I think of this field going in the future is that, for instance, we don't have a great list of like the things that we really need in our buildings and the things that we really don't need in our buildings when we're thinking about, say, bacteria. But at some point, we will. We're starting to learn a lot more about what's good to come into contact with and what's not good to come into contact with. And once we know that, then, you know, papers like this, I think, will become important to think about, you know, how to actually affect that change, how to actually bring in, you know, if we know that outside microbes are better for our health, then we know how to do that. We know how to design ventilation systems about that, and we know how to exchange air inside of a building to do that. If we decide that coming into contact with things in a bathroom is a bad idea, well, now we know that connectivity, how we connect those rooms together, makes a big difference. And it's not just for the smell.
Let me ask you this. What is it possible that someday we could discover that by seeding the microbiome of a building will actually, let's say, reduce the ability for things like MRSA to spread within that building, that there are microbiomes out there that will eat MRSA and disable it, for instance?
Yeah, so in some ways, I think that that's right on. So in general, we really, none of us allow enough microbial growth to happen inside of buildings for competition like that to happen. I think that when competition like that happens, probably something's gone wrong and your building's molding. But I think that you're right on in thinking that we can actually manage this by putting things into buildings that we do want and let that sort of outcompete what we don't want. And, you know, we've already seen how disastrous it is, to do things like sterilize a hospital. Well, it's not actually what we should be doing. You know, it turns out that we've been filtering air and making hospitals with inoperable windows. Well, all that does is concentrate bacteria in sick people,
right,
and on their skin and in their spit, and that's probably not a great thing in a hospital. And so if you do something so simple as open a window in a hospital, or rather just build a hospital where you can open a window, that changes the landscape dramatically. You find fewer of those pathogen-related bugs, and you find more things that hang out in plants and trees, and there's good reason to believe that that's probably a good thing.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. One last question and just a thought. What role does light play in all this? Obviously, we know that UV has the ability to kind of kill things. Is UV a good thing if you're trying to seed a healthy microbiome somewhere?
That is a very interesting question. So one answer to that is stay tuned, and we have a study in the works right now trying to answer just that question. But I think that the broad answer is that UV certainly affects microbes inside. It affects us, right? Light in windows makes us happier inside of buildings. We know that pretty well.
Right.
But we don't exactly know who that kills and who that allows to continue. Our study indicates that, you know, maybe there is an effect there, that we're concentrating certain bugs and making others die out really quickly when in a dry UV or high UV building. But I think that we really don't know yet whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. And I'm totally ducking out of that question.
No,
because
I understand.
It's something we still think about.
Well, and I'm just thinking about it, right? So we know that sunlight has had a role to play in our evolution, not just from the way that it makes cholesterol-based hormones like vitamin D in the skin, but probably destroying bad pathogens and allowing good things to continue to live on the skin. I have to believe.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is really going to be an interesting discussion on what role light plays in the homeostasis of the things we want to continue to grow and proliferate and the things that we don't want.
I have this funny
critical thinking moment coming up and saying, you know, it's going to turn out that the light is good because it gets rid of the bad things and the good things thrive in the light. And then all of a sudden I had this image of someone lowering a high energy LED into the gut of individuals with things like small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, and all of a sudden it kills all the bad stuff and all the good stuff can take up the space now.
Potentially, although the things that live in our gut are also pretty
yeah.
shy of
UV. Yeah, they're
as
used
well.
to, I know, they're used to, that's why that, as I was thinking about it and saying, I was thinking, nah,
but
that's not going to be it.
Yeah, but I think that you're going in the right direction, that we're learning about some really interesting novel ways to try to manage our own bodies, and then as an extension to try to manage our own buildings. You know, I mean, kind of like you were pointing at earlier, when you know, if you think about this as any other ecosystem on the planet, when a weed shows up in a national park, we don't nuke the place. Actually, we try to do things to discourage that weed, and we try to encourage the plants that we want to see. And I think that likely that's where this field is moving in the future, both the human microbiome and also the built environment microbiome, if we're able to manage what we come into contact with in buildings.
You know, I like that analogy, but it's funny. This is one of my pet peeves when people talk about weeds, and I'm like, well, weeds are undesirable because of our own selected choices of what we want to see grow and what we don't want to see grow. But weeds have every right to grow as a rose bush or anything else. And I'm not taking issue with your statement. I'm just saying it's funny because when it comes to the microbiome, there really is good and bad. It's not like, oh, well, we like this better than that. No, these actually cause problems. These don't. And so it's going to be interesting to see what we discover as far as what beneficial microbiome there is out there and how it can help us. And and I suspect that when we get a handle on that, it will automatically suppress the stuff that doesn't help us.
Yeah, that could be true. It could very well be true.
Very, very exciting stuff. Now, one of the things I noticed, this is just kind of in the vein of this discussion, the gym that I train at, when I get there, within the first 10 or 15 minutes of getting there, my sinuses fill up, I have this draining that goes on, I hack for a while, and then it goes away, like clockwork. And other people have told me the same thing. So is it possible that something that's living in their air handling system is actually an allergen? Not just an allergen, but we know about allergens, but could it also be that there's some microbiome that in there that actually has allergic effects on people?
Oh, it could certainly be true. I would be afraid to sort of point fingers at your gym, but gyms are very humid places, and a humid building, you know, bacteria love human building or humid buildings, and so do fungi. And so there's certainly a chance that could be an issue. There's also an even better possibility that, you know, a gym is a place where we congregate a lot of brand new plastic things and brand new wonderful carpets that are all giving off terrible chemicals.
Mm-hmm,
and very well that could be wreaking havoc on our immune system.
And they just put in all new equipment. It's funny you should
say
that. So there you go.
And we know almost nothing about what's in new plastics. Every year we find out what's in the 10-year-old plastics, and then they replace those chemicals with something totally new.
Last question. I purposely hold my sneezes in when I'm in a room with other people because I don't want to atomize my saliva and blast it all around the room. Is it unnecessary for me to do that? I'm trying to be protective of the people that I'm with. Should I stop that?
I'm not an immunologist, but I would certainly appreciate it if you hold your mouth next time I'm in a room with you.
Yeah, see? So it's the right thing to do.
I'm not really sure. I think that it partly plays a bigger role in our heads sometimes, because when we're breathing, we put a lot of this stuff out. But I would certainly agree that, you know, putting your arm into your shirt for just a second to keep a lot of that stuff out of the air is probably prudent when you're sick.
Hey, listen, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Take care.
All right, you too. Bye.
And we also want to thank Dr. Martin Burgo, all the way from Sweden, for joining us to talk about how antioxidants may not be the best thing to take if you are dealing with tumors and probably cancers. And then, of course, really a great discussion with Dr. David Ghazal of the University of Chicago about really what we could say here is not just frequent awakenings during sleep, but just poor sleep in general may actually cause tumors to grow faster and more abundantly. This is really, really important discussion, and I think everybody should know how well they're sleeping. Don't assume that because you close your eyes and keep them closed for 8 hours that you're sleeping well. It gets deeper than this. All right, we've got lots of great shows for the rest of the week. Thank you for listening today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Carl Lenore.
I want to live longer. I want to be stronger. I want to be healthier. And I want everybody to come along.
Calling out the daytime television quacks.
I want to see Dr. Oz do those things in the gym. He's out there telling people how to be stronger, be healthier, look better, live longer. Let's see him put himself to the test. Let's see any of these people do the things that we do in this audience here.
Motivating the people.
We are the true superhumans.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
Performance.